The engine's roar and the whipping of the wind. The first thing he felt was the pain in his right ankle, as if it were slowly being twisted off. Blood throbbed in his face and neck, and the weight of his insides pressing at the back of his throat felt like they were about to jump out of his mouth. He opened his eye a crack, and there was nothing beneath him but air. For hundreds of feet. Head down, he hung suspended in space. As Moon Boy corkscrewed far below, an awful dizziness hit him. He shut his eye. It was either that or throw up. But before he did, he glimpsed the black expanse of the aircraft's belly above him, and his ankle trapped in some kind of clamp. It was all that kept him from falling to his death. Then the plane dropped like a stone with him hanging there, helpless, every muscle in his body clenched. 6 feet above the center of Moon Boy's main street, the aircraft stopped and hovered. With a clack, the claw around his ankle snapped open, and Ryan fell unceremoniously to the dirt. The prop wash lashed his back as the plane turned away and landed on the trailer. When he sat up, black armor-clad figures had him surrounded. He stared down the muzzles of their tri-barreled blasters, then looked from visor to visor, trying to make out the faces behind them. All Ryan saw was his own reflection. One of the creatures in black gestured at him with its blaster.
Stand up!
The thing spoke English, but its voice was rad-blasted strange, metallic, and disembodied. As Ryan obeyed the command and rose to his feet, a door slid open in the side of the aircraft, and the pilot exited, hopping down to the road and walking purposefully toward him. The canny who'd stolen his long blaster was sitting by the ruined curb on the other side of the street. Beside him was a squat black cube on wheels. The skin of his face under the salt and pepper beard stubble looked sickly gray-green. Perhaps, Ryan thought, because his severed right hand was sticking up out of the top of the cube, as if it were waving goodbye. The canny cradled the scorched stump of his right arm to his chest. The treasured Steyr SSG-70 stood leaning against a piece of corrugated steel, part of a collapsed porch roof.
I'm not part of that canny bastard's crew. Came here to chill him myself. I have no grudge against any of you.
Ryan didn't expect instant amnesty. He was just trying to draw them out of their black shells, looking for an edge, something he could use. He got no response. The pilot who faced him was the biggest of the lot. Bigger than Ryan, too. No telling how much of it was armor, of course. Irritated by the silence, determined to show no weakness, the one-eyed man went nose to visor with him. Ryan shouted at his own reflection.
Can you hear me in there? Or are you a bunch of rad-blasted dimmies?
This one's quite a specimen. Love the eye patch. He came after the assault gyro with nothing but a great big knife.
Ryan winced at their peals of laughter, a laughter grated through stainless steel. It dawned on him that they all had some kind of amplification system for external communication.
I'm guessing you people aren't from around these parts.
Over there.
As he was escorted across the street, Ryan checked out the stubby blasters they carried. He'd never seen their like before. Why 3 barrels? He asked himself. Unlike Doc's Lama, all the muzzles seemed to be the same diameter. So what was the point of having 3 of them if they all fired the same thing? It looked like the barrels were fed from the blocky-looking mag near the stock's butt plate, so they weren't a triad of single-shot breeches, same way a side-by-side shotgun was. He also noticed they had 2 triggers instead of 1. Or instead of 3. Ryan wondered if he was going to live long enough to figure it out. The canny looked mighty worried as they approached. He shrank against the curb, cowering like a kicked dog.
How did Reverend Gore check out?
He's a Walsh. Standard tests show he's infected with a shadow variant of Creutzfeldt-Jakob.
Ice-9. With the ugly shit you've got in your head, we can't even use you for fertilizer.
The pilot straightened.
Foam him! And don't forget his fucking hand!
One of the figures in armor snatched the severed limb out of a hole in the top of the cube. To Ryan, the stump end looked as if it had been gnawed by rats, and unceremoniously threw it to the canny, while another armored figure unclipped a hose from its hip. One end of the hose terminated at the bottom of the tank on its back, the other in a nozzle. As the hoser advanced on the canny, The other one moved the cube to the middle of the street. Everyone else backed away from the flesh eater. Ryan followed suit. Gore's eyes were wide with fear.
What are you gonna do to me?
Ever hear of a carnophage?
The Kenny swallowed hard and shook his head. Ryan didn't know what it was either, but he didn't like the sound of it. The pilot tried another tack.
Well, do you know what bacteria are?
Gore looked desperately at Ryan, whose face was a mask of stone.
That's too bad, because I don't have time to explain it to you. Won't say this isn't going to hurt, though, because that would be a lie.
The one with the tank took another step forward. Then, creamy yellow stuff shot from the nozzle in its gloved hand. 3 feet from the tip of the nozzle, the thin line of fluid seemed to balloon in all directions, expanding on contact with the air. Gore let out a banshee shriek as the foam splattered his body head to foot. Whatever it was, it didn't take long to work. Ryan could see the clothes melting right off the man. The duster dissolved, then the hole-ridden gray t-shirt. As his epidermis dripped from the sides of his face, the canny did a shivery, heel-drumming, horizontal dance in the gutter. The yellow foam continued to billow up until it completely concealed him. Ryan heard choking sounds from beneath the bubbling mass. Then, the canny's good hand thrust up out of the foam, the fingers already stripped of flesh, red bones dissolving from the fingertips down, like icicles held to a flame. Beneath the mound of yellow fluff, brown fluid sizzled forth, pooling, then slowly sinking into the asphalt sand. Ryan whirled on the pilot.
What in rat blazes are you?
We'll ask the questions for the time being. I don't talk to bugs.
I'm not answering any questions until I see your ugly faces. Take off that fucking helmet and look me in the eye. Unless you're afraid.
We've got nothing to be afraid of, friend. Problem is, these helmets don't come off. Battle suit isn't designed that way. But we can do something about the tint.
The top of the pilot's helmet started to go transparent, black turning clear, down over the visor, to the neck opening. The head inside had close-cropped dark brown hair in a widow's peak and hard brown eyes.
Huh. You're a norm.
As the one-eyed man turned, the other helmets went from black to clear. He saw that one of his captors was female. She had pale blonde hair cut short, pale blue eyes, and a thin aquiline nose. The man standing next to her had a shaved head and wore a sandy-colored walrus mustache that drooped past the corners of his mouth. The third male was taller than the woman, but only just. He had shoulder-length, curly brown hair, some of it graying. The last man was the one with the foam tank. He was as big as the guy with the walrus mustache and sharp-featured. Under his helmet, he wore a seamed red skull cap with an embroidered logo across the crown that read, Buy or Die, 759th Air Cav. There was a different insignia on his armor's breastplate. The word five in small silver letters. For the first time, Ryan noticed the same design on the breastplates of all the others.
Hold the foam ready, Ackerman. If this one's got Ice 9, too, we're going to need it.
No worries.
Ackerman looked thoroughly amused.
I don't have the Uzis.
That's what you call the disease?
Right. I don't have the Uzis because I don't eat human flesh. Never have, never will.
You might think that would make a difference, but you'd be wrong. Turns out you can get infected from eating an animal that fed on another infected animal, or by eating a plant that was fertilized with composted flesh from an infected animal. The provirus that causes the infection is almost indestructible, because it isn't really alive. It's a kind of chemical. We need a tissue sample in order to test you for it.
You're not taking off my hand.
Ryan retreated a giant step backward, ready to fight.
No. That's not necessary. We used your friends because it was, well, already available. A tiny snip of your skin will do nicely for our purposes. Or, if you'd prefer, we could just forget about the test and carnophage you as a precaution.
Ryan looked at the yellow curds floating on top of the thin puddle of brown, which was all that was left of the canny. If the test came back wrong, he was going to be slime in a hurry, too. Ryan thought about making a grab for one of their weapons, but he knew that would draw fire from the others. And even if he got his hands on one of the strange blasters, he didn't know how to operate it. Somehow, he He didn't think they'd be willing to give him the time to get up to speed. There was the Stire, of course, and perhaps it was still loaded, but he'd already seen how ineffective it was. Given his predicament, he decided the best